We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Yes, I am celebrating French freedom today. It is Bastille Day. And this song, apparently called Bastille Day, is that it?
Yeah, that's right. This is Rush.
Oh, that's Rush.
Yeah.
Look at that. I like that. Middleman put this in there?
This was all Carl's idea. I put it in. So I'll give a lot of credit to Carl here.
The fall of Bastille, July 14th, 1789. Sue says they referenced it on the Tour de France today as you were watching. You and I, the only ones watching,
yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah, I kind of like to watch it. I do fast forward through it. But yeah, they talked about Bastille Day, not the fact that Rush had a song. And of course, Rush would have a song about Bastille Day.
Yeah, well, French Canadians, right?
Yep.
That's absolutely right. You know, this guy, I called and left a message for one of my friends up in Wisconsin, and he was my cycling mentor, Phil Cianciolo. We used to do radio together because when I watched the tour, and you can relate to this, Dave, there's a guy who won the tour last year that's in the lead right now, yellow jersey winner named Tadej Pogacar.
And he's from Slovenia. Okay, I looked it
did
up.
I even come close to pronounce like?
It looks like
Tadej Pogacar.
That's fine.
So when the announcers say his name, and there are, what was the goalie? They used to do this with a goalie from one team a few years ago. It's like they're not capable of just saying Pogacar. Now, if you were in the Tour de France, Thomas takes the stage.
Yes, yes.
Sue Thomas. They wouldn't say your whole name, right? But with this guy, they say
every
his whole name.
Single time.
Bob Roll, who's fantastic. But he's funny because he says the name
he's
all
hilarious.
The time.
He doesn't mean to be hilarious, but he is.
Can I ask a dumb question about the tour?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With the yellow jersey, do they give that out after the very first stage?
Or yes. Is,
mm-hmm. Okay.
So
right.
Whoever wins the first stage, that person then becomes the leader of the Tour de France. If on the second day, that person still, because this is all by time, right? So Dave,
right.
If you're leading on the first day and you're leading me by a minute, you're leading Sue by 2 minutes, all of a sudden Sue has a great stage. She's ahead of you. So then she is the yellow jersey winner or wearer for that day. So Pogacar has had the yellow jersey now for almost the whole tour.
Yeah, wow. A lot. It's very impressive.
And it's going to be very difficult for someone to beat him at this point. And this is the one thing about the tour that I don't like. I'd like it to be a little bit more dramatic, but I think it's still podium positions. I mean, they're playing mm-hmm. right now. They're riding for second, third, fourth. However, having said that, he's got to stay safe. He's got to make sure that, you know, there's no wrecks. They're going to take him out, things along those lines. And there are a lot of wrecks in the Tour de France.
True.
All right, Sue's News is coming up, but you know, I do this thing on Fridays where I pick a song of the week. I've done this, Dave knows, for years, and I just kind of have a little fun with it. So there was a song that I was considering for this week, but I also found out something about it. So I'm just going to play the song here. I won't even tell you what it is. I'll play the song, and then you can just react. This is the start of it here.
Put your loving hand
hang on, bear with it here.
Out, baby.
All right, now it kicks in a little bit. That was just the intro.
Okay, I don't love the intro.
Yeah, okay, well, here you go.
I'm begging you to put your loving hand.
Now, this is a remix, so if it sounds familiar, let me know. Dave, sound familiar to you?
To put your loving hand out on the line, riding high.
All right, so that's the beginning of it. I'll play a little bit more here in the middle because they get into a little scatting, if you will.
I need you to understand.
Okay.
Try so hard to be your man, the kind of man you want in the end. Only then can I begin to live again. An empty.
So I love this song. I didn't know it was a I knew it was a remake, but I didn't know that the song was 4 years old. So this is what I'm going to explain to you. This is a Four Seasons cover from 1967.
Frankie Valli?
Yeah, Bob Gaudio wrote this song. And I think it was a bit of a, not a huge hit. Well, it was a hit, but I don't know that it was a huge hit back in 1967. I'd have to check that out. So this is a band called Maneskin. And they're from Italy. And this song has been out for 4 years, and now it is going to the top of the charts internationally.
Oh, interesting.
Internationally. Wow. You want to know why?
Why?
Think about it. Think.
Okay, they used it in the Olympics commercial
or
something.
Well, that's actually a very good guess. But what vaults things into absolute superstardom, viral, everybody talks about
Did
it
Did somebody
days.
Get canceled?
Two words.
TikTok.
TikTok. TikTok put
somebody
it into...
Was magic erasering their teeth, and they put this on.
To this song.
So yes. Bob Gaudio wrote Sherry, that was a number one, Big Girls Don't Cry, Walk Like a Man, Ragdoll, and he had not had a single in 2 years back there,
wow.
in like 1965. So he refocused on writing with the Four Seasons. Beggin' was number 16. So that was the first time he teamed with a lyricist besides the other former writer. So he wrote that song. It didn't do great. So then this band, and there's been a lot of people that have covered this song over the years. I'm going to kind of whip through this a little bit because we have to get to Sue's news. There's this Italian band in 2016. They name, and I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right, Maneskin. It's the Danish word for moonlight. They end up going on X Factor, and that's where the cover first emerged. And it was alongside Takes. Franz Ferdinand did this. I guess the Killers did a version of it. I had no idea. Hmm. The band finishes second on X Factor. But then, lo and behold, TikTok, and I'm not exactly sure how this happened, but somebody puts it on TikTok. This thing now. I'm holding on. Again, it's number one internationally. It's cracking the top 100 Billboard. There are, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Y98 plays this thing eventually because it's becoming a huge hit. Now, here's what I'll tell you, because I did a little searching on some of the people writing stories about this.
Yeah.
Here's one guy. I like this. Dave, we got to get my friend Tim Summer on here. He writes it this way. Maneskin, a darkly glammed out and transcendentally trashy hard rock quartet from Rome, have been ruling the internet this summer, and talks about how this is, you know, a top 10 Spotify, and he describes it as... Consider that Maneskin's Beggin' cover is just an atrociously, offensively bad, a jittery, feral scat attack that I refuse people are listening for non-ironic reasons. I got to tell you something. I love the song. I really do. I think it's great. Telling you, it's been, now I've listened to it for 3 or 4 straight days and it's in my head. But
I think much like Sue, I didn't like the beginning, but then once they really got into it,
it's not as bad.
I'm sold. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's well, not as bad.
If you start to hear that song, and you wonder, you know, what that's all about—a four-year-old song. But this is what the internet does,
man,
every
TikTok.
Once in a while.
TikTok, of course, TikTok.
Unbelievable.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's news, brought to you by Sue.
There it is.
Okay, we are getting close to the Olympics, and I'm starting to get really... I just love it. Did you know that the U.S. is sending its second largest team ever to the Olympics in Tokyo? 613 athletes.
Whoa.
Right?
That's well, there would have been 614 if Sha'Carri Richardson didn't smoke weed. I'll just say that right now.
I'm still mad about that.
Me too.
There are 620-something, actually, as alternates in case somebody falls out. But 613 officially.
Wow.
Now, the 613 athletes actually sets the record for the largest amount of athletes sent to the games outside of the host nation. Our actual largest team was in 1996 in Atlanta when we had 648 athletes. Here's what I didn't realize. When you are the host nation, you automatically qualify in all kinds of sports.
Whoa, I didn't know that either.
Did you?
No.
I didn't either. So
weird.
In Atlanta... Even if we didn't have people who would have qualified,
doesn't matter. We had
we'll throw
we had
him
athletes,
in there.
Right.
Let's throw in Mark Reardon. He can play whatever.
I would have been on the golf team.
Right.
Well, they didn't have golf in '96, but
right.
That would have been bad.
I'm sure he would be great.
Sue, did you see the story about how Ralph Lauren makes the
outfits?
Yeah. And so the Team USA uniforms are actually going to come with air-conditioned jackets.
Oh, my gosh.
I believe for the opening ceremonies.
I love that so much. Cool. I can't even stand it.
I've not always been crazy about the Ralph Lauren.
Really?
You know, yeah.
I like the last one. Whatever Michael Phelps wore the last time was really cool. I'll have to go look that up. Now,
wasn't one of them, they kind of looked like QAnon Shaman with the thing that they were wearing.
I do not recall that. What was that? Someone just look that up and show that to me. I don't remember that. When you are the host nation, you automatically get that. Okay, fine. Also, we are setting a record for the most women ever competing for one nation at the Games. The U.S. has more women than men for the third time in history and for the third Summer Olympics in a row. I had no idea.
No, I didn't know either.
The percentage of women is nearly 54%. It's the largest in U.S. history. We have 329 women among the 613, and that's set to shatter the record for any nation, actually.
Very, very excited like you about the Olympics. I can't wait for my daughter to watch them, but I can't help but think that some of the shine is going to be off just because of no crowds and because of COVID. I hope I'm wrong about that.
I do, too. I do understand what you're saying. We'll have to wait and see.
And they're still called the 2020 Olympics, which is still
weird. I find that weird.
Yeah,
well,
weird.
That was like the Italy-England game the other day.
Copa.
It was the 2020.
Yeah.
Oh, they call that 2020, too?
That was 2020 also.
Well, I guess so they don't mess everything up. But I don't know. Now, I'm going to just some random facts for the Olympics for you. Equestrian Philip Dutton will be the oldest and most experienced U.S. Olympian in Tokyo. He is 57. He is set to be the oldest U.S. Olympian since 2008. This is his seventh Olympics. And since he rides a horse, he's, you know, it's fine.
Has he medaled? Does it
yes.
Say, oh, he has medaled. Okay.
His first three were in Australia. That's where he was a native. He was also the oldest Olympian in Rio, and he won an individual bronze medal. That made him the oldest U.S. Olympic medalist since 1952. Now, swimming is going to be really fun to watch.
I love swimming.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
Great. I was watching a lot of the trials a few weeks ago.
I was too. It's totally addictive. Swimmer Katie Grimes will be the youngest. She is age 15. Now, that
Whoa,
is...
That
she
seems
was,
really young.
Right? And she was helped by the extra year.
Oh, so she wouldn't have made it last year.
She would not have made it, but now she's 15 and will. She is set to become the youngest U.S. Olympian, summer or winter, since Katie Ledecky, who I love to watch in 2012.
Now, was she, because when I was watching the trials, there was a young girl, maybe it was her, and Katie Ledecky was saying, look, she's basically like I was 5 years ago, right?
That's her.
Yeah.
That's her. It's really cool. So she's 800 meter freestyle. The Olympics begin on the 23rd, people. It's just really cool. Oh, this is a wild story. A British paratrooper who was training with some Americans on the West Coast was out for a jump the other day. So they're at 15,000 feet, which is about 2.8 miles. The guy jumps out of the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
Parachute does not open.
Uh-oh.
That's
falls for 2.8 miles. Crashes into the roof of a house.
Okay, this is better have a good ending here. No?
Yep. Crashes into this woman's house.
No parachute at all?
No. Well, okay. I mean, it's still there, but it didn't open.
Okay, all right.
In, just comes raining through the kitchen window with, you know, roof pieces and some insulation, and is dangling there because he got caught, right? I mean, he still had the pack on. But he was okay. Minor injuries.
No
they take
way.
Him to the hospital. It's incredible.
Okay, that...
She also said, didn't hit any appliances, didn't hit the cabinets. And the mother of the woman who owns this place said, he just kind of came through and it, you know, it screwed up the trusses, but that's about it.
Okay, that's an amazing story,
it's
but
incredible.
I'm also a little skeptical because wouldn't traveling at that speed for 2.5 miles, wouldn't that be a bit of an issue?
He was conscious but stunned, Mark. The British Ministry of Defense said in a statement, there's been a parachuting incident involving a British soldier alongside his American allies. He's minor injuries, but he's recovering well.
I'm glad he's doing well.
Can you imagine?
That is frightening.
You're walking through your house, minding your own business. Suddenly, kablam, there is a parachute person in your kitchen. Hawaii is holding a goat lottery, in case you wanted one.
Like an actual goat?
Yes.
Not a greatest of all time?
Correct. Bah, goat. It wants to distribute 700 or so goats to the public.
Is there really a big need for goats?
Well,
is this a vaccine incentive program or something like that?
I'm not sure it would work. The goats are considered invasive, and they have overrun a Hawaiian state park. Okay, and there is video on this website of goats sliding down a slide. I'm just telling
you. Oh, that's
hilarious. It's really entertaining. The lottery winners must have, at a minimum, a 16-foot enclosed horse trailer or equivalent to pick up the goats. By the way, some national parks are so crowded this summer that even if you're in the continental U.S., you may have to call ahead to get in. Yellowstone had a record number of visitors in May because people were like, wow, we can travel now. Let's all go to the national parks because we can't go to Europe. And they've all been going there. So if you are traveling to a national park this summer, go ahead and call ahead.
Good advice.
You really need to make sure that you can get in. And finally, well, I do have another one, but I'm going to end with this. Kraft is celebrating National Macaroni and Cheese Day today by releasing their first mac and cheese ice cream.
No thanks.
What?
Nope.
What?
A pint is $12.
Why ruin a good thing?
It's a I'm sure it's just for PR, which I'm giving them. I get that, but it's just so weird. And somebody apparently made a comment that said, hopefully there's no little patches of stuff, you know, the powdered cheese that didn't get mixed.
Yeah. Because that's realistically, that's what it should look like, right? Are there big quarter sticks of butter in there, too?
God. You could get it on a Van Leeuwen website at shops across the country. Here's a surprise. It's merely a special order, a little while ice cream, if you want to try it. It is called, apparently the reviews are mixed. Well, nobody's really tasted it on these reviews.
It's just
They're
a
just
publicity
saying,
stunt.
Will I do it or will I not? Right. And normally I ignore these, but come on. And it's specifically Kraft. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Although I do like Kraft
Sugarfire mac and cheese. Sugarfire mac and cheese. Really
delicious.
Good. Really, really good.
And that's it for Sue's News.
One story I want to throw in here before we get to the break, and I think Mr. Buffa might talk about this, although he's so young. Sue, you and I,
we have to
appreciate this. This is pretty cool. All in the Family and Maude, for the first time, will stream under a deal with Amazon Prime. Norman Lear and that production company has reached out. I didn't realize you couldn't stream those shows. They've done some, I don't know if you watched the remakes that they did with the actual scripts a couple of years ago. They were actually really interesting. It was great because it's jarring to watch All in the Family in 2020 or 2021 see the way that they approached these very tricky social justice issues in 1973, 1974. So it was an important show, and it was absolutely cutting edge. Dave, have you ever watched an episode?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, you have.
Yeah, I mean, it was a Nick and Knight. My generation watched it on Nick and Knight as a kid.
Am I the only one in this room who doesn't care? I mean, I don't care, but I would not go download and rewatch Maude and
All in the Family. All in the Family for sure. Just because that was one of the first shows that I sort of remember when I was a young kid. I watched it with my grandparents, and when they did those...
So nostalgia.
Yeah, plus I think they were exceptionally well done. I really do, for the time in particular. That was cutting-edge television. And again, I think it's a little jarring the way that scripts sound today. 424, we'll go out with my favorite Italian rock band, Main Scan. An empty shell, I used to be,
the shadow all my life. Information to keep you moving. Dependable traffic mornings and afternoons with Sue Thomas. Driven by Ambassador Midwest Floor Company. The best way to deal with in-home traffic. Experience more at Ambassador Midwest Floor.
Well, here's a great band on the topic of music, Blackberry Smoke.
In the eastern rising sun.
Oh, tomorrow afternoon on the show, George Gray will be in the studio. He is the voice on The Price is Right with Drew Carey. He's the modern-day Johnny Olsen. He's from here in St. Louis. He splits his time between Hollywood and Arizona, and he's in town still for the summer. He's the biggest Carlos Martinez fan on the planet. I know he's very broken up about Carlos being on the 60-day DL, but we'll talk George through that tomorrow afternoon. We're going to do a little bit that we call The Price is Wrong. And it's going to be a lot of fun. It has been. So that's coming up tomorrow. We got a roundtable on Friday. Jane Duker, former state senator Jeff Smith, and Gene Evans, who was the executive director of the state GOP. So I monologued. I started the show this afternoon because I feel there's a lot of fear out there. There's a lot of bad news. And there are hospital ERs that are filling up, unfortunately. But where is this taking us? And I have a fear that's taking us to masks again, and masks in schools and lockdowns. And one person who's always been very straightforward on this, St. Charles County Executive Steve Ellman, who's back with me this afternoon. I heard you earlier, Steve, and it sounds like you have some of the same concerns.
Yeah, I do, Mark, definitely. And, you know, one of the things that we haven't done yet, I was hoping after on the first year anniversary, we might actually look at some of the policies that have been adopted throughout the region. You know, not everybody did this the same way.
Yeah.
And not everybody had the same results. So I'm a little bit concerned that there's some people out there figure, well, we'll just go back and do it the way we did last year. And in some cases that worked, in some cases it didn't. The interesting thing is, as you know, is in many cases, the people who did less actually ended up with better results than the people who had more regulation.
Well, that's right.
So the debate will go on.
Well, the debate will go on. One thing that I, as a parent of someone who's going to be a first grader, I know a lot of parents out there are, they don't want their kids wearing masks in school. And my daughter's very lucky. She doesn't have to wear a mask in her adventure club in Rockwood Schools this summer. But so what's going to happen in St. Charles County, are you hearing?
Well, in St. Charles County, the situation is that we, you know, we believe in local control for the schools. And, of course, you know how that is. The people who believe in local control, you believe in local control if you think the local people are going to do the right thing. And I think last year our school boards did. Every one of them made a sincere effort to get as many kids in the buildings for as long as they can, as much as they could. And 80% of our kids last year actually were in school. Now, we had some people, you know, show up at our meetings towards the end of the year, and they were concerned because they didn't like the mask mandate. And what we had to explain to them is, if you remember back in December, things were getting really tough in the schools, and the governor and DESE came out with this new plan where kids who were otherwise quarantined and wouldn't be able to go to school would be able to go to school, okay? And that was a great help to the schools. But the condition under which they were able to do that was if the school had a mask mandate. So the parents were upset. They were thinking it was because the county was ordering to do that. And as you know, we've never had a mask mandate. But in that particular case, the governor didn't have one either. But he did have it as a condition if you wanted to avoid the other quarantine requirements. So that's what I'm looking forward to seeing, whether DESE will stick with that rule or maybe relax it some.
So what's the situation currently in your county, in St. Charles County? What are you hearing from the hospitals?
My impression at this point is that we're no better and no worse than everybody else in the region. What's been going on in the state for the last month has been going on in the region here for the last week or so. And if it, you know, continues and like it did in the state, we've got a real problem ahead of us. If we can go ahead and improve what we're doing and hopefully get that curve to flatten out, that's certainly what we're going to try to do.
So I don't ever want to give people the impression that I don't think this is serious, because I always have, but we do have numbers that are different than the other waves in the sense that, yes, these numbers are spiking. You do have people that are landing in the ICU on respirators, but on Sunday, nobody died in Missouri. And I'm looking at the COVID tracker right now from Johns Hopkins. Very few people, fortunately, are dying. The 7-day average is 9 deaths. That's a very, very different place. If I go back to January 1st, we were averaging 57 deaths, a lot more cases. Obviously, Steve, we don't want to get back to that point, but I think there is something to the notion that, yeah, people are getting sick. Some people are maybe getting really sick, but the death numbers are way down, aren't they?
They are. And, you know, going back to what I said earlier, you know, in St. Charles County, we had about the same rate of infections as St. Louis County, but we ended up with 23% fewer hospitalizations and almost half as many deaths. So that's what we look at, what we've been looking at, the percentage of hospitalization, percentage of deaths. Now, we were able to keep our schools open last year because when young people were getting infected last year, they weren't suffering severe symptoms. There's some suggestion that maybe it might be a little bit different with this D variant.
Right.
But if it's like it was last year, and it's the older people that are most at risk, 90% of our senior citizens are vaccinated in St. Charles County. So we're in good shape there. And again, we're just going to have to wait and see what happens. We're going to have to see if this is the same as last year, if it's different. If it is the same as last year, are we going to do things exactly the way we did last year? I mean, some of those things worked and others didn't. So, I just hate to see we've got a chance to look back on last year and see what worked and what didn't. And I don't think anybody in the media has done that yet. I wish they would.
Steve, do you still have what's the communication, the level of communication right now with the state, with other leaders here in the city, St. Louis County? Are there active discussions going on relating to the state of COVID, or is that kind of gone by the wayside?
The governor is I've been invited to be on a call with the governor on Friday morning, along with the other county executives here in the region. And we did that again a year or so ago for quite a while until things got better. And he's started that up again. Like I said, I'm really interested in see what Desi's going to do. I called the commissioner of education, actually sent her a text, told her I was going to be talking to you today and asked her if she had any advice as to what I should say. And she didn't get back. She wasn't able to get back to me. But, the state last year did everything they could to allow those school districts that wanted to provide the opportunity for kids to be in school. They did everything they did to make that possible, and I hope they'll continue to adopt that approach.
I hope so, too. St. Charles County Executive Steve Ellman, always great to have you on, Steve. I appreciate you shooting straight all the time. Keep us posted because
I hope you're...
Yeah, I think we are in that area where we don't know what's going to happen. It's that two-week cycle again, right?
That's right. Good luck to your first grader.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. We'll have you back on soon. Jim Talent on the U.S. troop withdrawal from Afghanistan. Former Senator Talent, next. Former President George W. Bush went on a television station in Germany, and he was asked the question whether or not he thinks the drawdown of troops in Afghanistan was a mistake, and he said this.
I think the consequences are going to be unbelievably bad, and I'm sad. And Laura and I spend a lot of time with Afghan women, and they're scared. And I think about all the interpreters and people that helped, not only U.S. troops, but NATO troops. And it seems like they're just going to be left behind to be slaughtered by these very brutal people. And it breaks my heart. And I'm sure Angela, I haven't talked to her about it, but I suspect she feels the same way.
That is the German Chancellor, Angela Merkel, that he's referring to. Former Senator, Missouri Senator Jim Talent is with us this afternoon. He is an expert in foreign policy along these lines. How are you, Senator? Welcome back.
Well, I'm fine. And thank you for the compliment, Mark. I almost feel like a scholar.
Well, you better live up to it. Look, I think that if you just talk to your everyday, regular American voter, they don't really understand the implications. It's very complicated foreign policy. Why are we in Afghanistan? I think if you go out and poll people, is it time to leave Afghanistan after 20 years? Most people would say yes. I guess the Biden administration felt that way. But there is a way to do it and a way not to do it, and they seem to be taking the latter path, don't they?
Well, yeah, if you're going to leave, you don't want to do it this way. I remember when I was in the Senate, I was visited by an Iraqi delegation, and they tried very gently to say, we're glad that you're here helping us. We don't want you to like take over our country. And I said, look, the problem is not going to be getting us to leave. The problem is going to be getting us to stay when you need us. I come at this different than President Bush does. I mean, I'll just take 60 seconds. You say, why are we there? So we have what the Department of Defense calls a footprint, a base of about 3,000 to 5,000 service personnel. It's one of our smaller permanent bases. We have a bigger base in Qatar, an Air Force base, Al Udeid. We have a bigger base in Bahrain. We have a base of about the same size in Djibouti, which is on the Horn of Africa. And they're not in a combat role. What we get out of that is we're able to strike at al-Qaeda through the Afghan forces and with drones and airstrikes. We're able to get really good intelligence on what's going on in Pakistan. That's how we were able to get Osama bin Laden. And Pakistan is an epicenter of terrorism and Chinese influence. And we're a counter, that base there is, and our presence there is a counter to Chinese influence in South Asia and is very reassuring to India, with whom we have an increasingly close partnership. And if we leave, we lose all those benefits. And then Bush is right. We're going to be treated to videos of the there's a high risk. We'll be treated to videos of the Taliban cutting off the heads of our friends. And, I just think the equities, the balance is in favor of staying. Now, I understand most Americans, and they're right. We've paid too big a price for this. But this is like if you buy a car and you overpay for it, and you get really upset at yourself. Well, you don't give away the car, right? I mean, you keep the benefit, whatever benefits you're getting out of it. And that's what I would do, at least unless it was necessary to put in a whole lot more troops in a combat role. At that point, if you want to cut and run, I get it.
So there are some people that would say, and I've seen this out on Twitter today, the real mistake was transforming an anti-Al-Qaeda mission into a long-term trillion-dollar, this was very expensive, trillion-dollar state-building enterprise. That started on Bush's watch. Is that legitimate criticism?
Yeah, it's legitimate, although, again, I would put it this way. The mistake was President Bush, who had the right. I mean, look, he has the right. He believes all this, and there's truth in it. Where our influence goes, democracy and freedom tends to spread. But he justified this as building a democracy in Afghanistan, and it was actually about advancing American interests. Now, again, where we go, a greater democracy or something, you know, more freedom and more rights tends to follow because that's who we are. But that's really not why, in my opinion, we were doing it. And I think if it had been, if President Bush had informed the American people differently of this and why we were doing it, I think people would understand better. But look, I mean, he had the toughest job in the world. I really try not to criticize, as you know. I've been at those tables, and I'm glad I'm not at the head of them making these calls.
Well, you know, there is the notion from the Biden administration that the Taliban is not going to take over the country again. How do we know what's really happening? Because they can't be that, maybe they can be. It doesn't seem like they could be that naive to know that if the path that could potentially happen with the Taliban toppling the government, taking back over, that's going to be a big blunder on the Biden administration, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And I think it's going to look very bad for them. I mean, Americans don't like to cut and run. You remember that movie Patton? At the beginning of it, he says, when he gives a speech, he says, Americans love a winner and will not tolerate a loser. And there's a lot of truth in that. So I think if I was a member of the intelligence community, what I would put it this way, I would say there's an unacceptably high risk, or we are at very high risk of the Taliban taking over the whole country. In fact, they're kind of doing it now.
Yeah. It's hard for me to believe that won't happen. Former Senator Jim Talent is with me. I have to ask you about what's happening in Cuba right now, because that's fascinating as well, isn't it?
It really is. The biggest demonstrations, well, people argue about whether it's since 94 or since just in 60 years, really. And clearly the regime is rattled. They're trying to cut off all communications, of course, but they're arresting a lot of people and people who they haven't. It's not just the usual suspects. They're beating up and killing demonstrators. It's you know, it's tyrants doing the tyranny thing.
Yeah, and, but Senator, I've been told by so many people, including Bernie Sanders and Colin Kaepernick, that we have much higher level of oppression here in this country than
Cuba. Well, it's crazy. And
it's nuts.
There is a faction on the left that has this unaccountable affection for regimes like this. Now, I'm not saying Bernie wants people to be, you know, killed or beaten up. But this refusal to look at reality here, these kinds of strict socialist or communist regimes, and these are not the wave of the future. I mean, it collapsed in Eastern Europe, it collapsed in the Soviet Union, and it would have collapsed in China, except the Chinese were too smart to continue it. It doesn't work. And I hear people say, well, they're arguing over whether it's because people are poor or because they're oppressed. Well, it's because they're both poor and they're dirt poor and they're oppressed. And it's because of this system. And the regimes always develop into criminal gangs that loot whatever, you know, little wealth the country's able to produce. And that's what these people are. So, you know, I don't want us to intervene or anything like that, but I would like to see the president become more vocal. He put out a good statement there was some ambiguity from his assistant secretary, you know, for that part of the world of state. And I think she got rebuked. But I'd like to see him do more because there's a chance the regime could fall. I mean, these regimes are not as stable as they look.
You know, I had a couple years ago in Las Vegas, I had a Cuban Uber driver, and she was lovely, and we started talking about freedom and things that she enjoys in this country, and it was stunning, because I didn't know it at the time. She told me, you know, you can't even eat a hamburger in Cuba. You can't have cows. Now, they changed that this year. They finally, and that was because they had a food shortage, but if you were just a commoner, you couldn't have a cow for beef. You could use it to milk. You weren't able to access steaks and hamburgers. That's true oppression, and that existed until 2 months ago, 3 months ago in Cuba.
That's nuts.
Yeah, I mean, it's extremely poor because the government owns all the, you know, what in the old Marxist terms, the means of production. And that violates iron law of economics and of human nature because people don't understand it themselves. They don't want to work when they don't get to keep any of the fruits of their labor. You know, they never get prices and supply right because they don't allow, you know, a supply demand market system. And, you know, when I talk to young people, I say, look, don't think that socialism in this strict sense, this is not a big social safety net. You can have a big social safety. The Nordic countries, they have very free economies. They have high taxes and on the middle class. But they have, in fact, I think that the Nordic countries that Bernie talks about a lot, I think they're higher on the index of economic freedom than we are. They let people go out and start businesses and grow them and after they pay the taxes, keep what they earn. So that's one thing. But this kind of a regime, I mean, it's not viable. It's terrible. And they're run by gangsters, basically.
Absolutely. Former Senator Town, always great to have you on. I'm out of time. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it.
Anytime.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.